Welcome back to the Lead Up Podcast, where we connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey so others can level up in their leadership. Hashtag Lead Up. It's been a while since I've been in person in the studio, so I'm very excited. You can check out the shirt there. Very nice. We'll talk more about that later on. But as always, I want to give a special shout out to Darling New Media, Sacramento's premier podcast studios, here to help tell your story. Make sure to check them out, darlingnewmedia.com, and connect with Nate. And can't forget about you all listening, watching. It's been amazing, this journey, just the podcast journey and just connecting with amazing people. And, you know, without further ado, I want to introduce everybody to the next guest of the podcast. I want to welcome Tiffany Harder. Welcome to the Lead Up Podcast.
Thank you, Renato.
How's it going?
Good. I'm excited to be here today. Thank you.
Yes, me too. I know we were just chatting just a few seconds ago about the space and everything. It's been a couple months. You know a little bit. I'll share a little bit more context. So Tiffany, how we met, the connection was through the Nehemiah Emerging Leaders Program, the NELP program. Shout out NELP, class 12. you were offering some a coaching opportunity, and we'll talk about that. I took advantage of this opportunity, amazing coaching opportunity. I'm so glad that I did. And I'll share a little bit more about my experience. But before we kind of get into that, definitely want to learn about who is Tiffany Harder. So give us the breakdown, background. Who is Tiffany Harder?
Oh, man. Such a big question. Well, I am a mother of an awesome 13-year-old. I'll totally date him now. I live with my husband and them out in Orangevale with our wonderful pets. I have a pug beagle mix named Obi who makes a big appearance on a lot of my coaching calls.
Mm-hmm. I can attest to that.
Yes, I know what people want, and it's Obi. What else? I've lived in the Sacramento area pretty much my whole life. Early on was up in Siskiyou County, mm-hmm. Yreka, mm-hmm. which isn't Eureka. You just keep driving.
I think I passed that. I went to Ashland a few weeks ago, so I did pass that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of the note. Yeah. Stop here to get gas.
Yeah,
get
right. I did stop for gas there. Yeah.
I've been around here for a long time, and my day job is at CalPERS. I work in the investment office as a special projects officer. Sounds like I have a gun that shoots projects. Right. And before that, I was with the Governor's Office of Service and Volunteering as an appointee, and that was an awesome experience. And before that, just rattling around. I have a BA in anthropology, which is not Indiana Jones. That is not that. And it is not dinosaur bones. Uh-huh. But it is really interesting.
Yeah.
I love learning about people. Yeah. So, and you know, others is a mirror through which we can understand ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's what really drew me to that.
Yeah. No, very cool. And as I mentioned, the coaching that you do, right? So I know you work full time at CalPERS, but outside of that, you also offer coaching to folks. So kind of dive into that, because I also want to bring up, I know even before this, we were talking about the summit and the session you released. I want to get into that, but let's start with the coaching and how you got your coaching started, your own coaching journey. So talk to me a little bit about that. How did you get into coaching? Where did that start? What was the spark for you?
Awesome. So it was through Nehemiah Emerging Leaders Program. Again, I remember at the end of selection day, they were introducing the various judges, and one of them was Maria Nemeth. Mm. And it was like, oh, Dr. Maria Nemeth. And then later, you know, with the community mentors,
yes.
One of my colleagues in class 11, greatest of all time, Jocelyn, she said, you know, Tiff, you really need to come do one of these classes that my mentor Maria does.
Yeah.
She's like, it's called like, it's like onto something, yeah. You know, I just really think you'd like it. And, you know, Jocelyn, we'd had a number of conversations, so I trusted that. And I went on and I registered for the class. It was called Mastering Life's Energies, which was like, okay, I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And it's a great class for anyone. And it's sort of the first taste I got of coaching.
Got it.
Right. Of like, what is this different perspective? Mm-hmm. What is holding space for someone to support them to bring what's inside them forward?
Yeah.
As opposed to like convincing them of something or advocating for your own thing or just listening. So I took the class and it was a really great experience. And I'm like, okay, I really need more of this in my life. So I decided to pursue their coach training program.
Got it.
So started doing that. I made the offer to your NELP class as a way to, one, you know, I feel like it would have been such a helpful thing to have access to when I was going through NELP.
Got it.
And, you know, just what a fun way to give back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I know I had mentioned the summit, and this is something that happened recently. I think it was last week, mm-hmm. right? And you did a session, if I'm not mistaken, kind of comparing, contrasting coaching, mentoring, all these different things that we kind of hear often. And we think that some of them are similar, they are different, mm-hmm. right? So I'm wondering if you can maybe dive into that a little bit too, of just, you know, a little bit about your session and kind of breaking down, what does coaching actually mean? How's that different from mentoring? How's that different from consulting? Because I think a lot of people, I'll put myself in that boat where, you know, I thought just having a mentor was enough, but I think coaching, and I'll share more about that experience, took me to a different level. But yeah, I'd love to hear kind of your take on that and kind of what you got to share with other folks.
I love that question. Thank you for asking it, because it's like, man, it was the session. I designed the session I wish I'd ran into 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we do use those terms really almost right on top of each other, right? I'm just imagining their little pictures, and you stack them all together, and what you get is a whole bunch of like, ugh. So of course, what are the results we get with that? Yeah. Sometimes it's like, ugh. So, and I'll put myself in that box as well. Like, I remember being really disappointed by a mentorship experience years ago. Mm. Well, it turns out I wanted coaching, but I didn't have the words or the understanding to go get that.
Yeah.
So mentorship is where someone who has been where you want to be personally or professionally, and they are willing to share their experiences with you.
Got it.
So you get a window into the world through someone else's eyes. Mm-hmm. If this was an illustrative metaphor about opening doors, a mentor is going to tell you about the doors that they've walked through. Mm. Maybe that'll help you as you go through this hallway of life with all these doors.
Yeah.
Information with mentoring is flowing from the mentor into you.
Got it.
You're a receiver. Some of the things that you can take away from a mentorship experience: one, new perspectives, mm-hmm. maybe information about the unwritten rules of an environment or an industry, and maybe down the line, a champion, right? You might be cultivating a champion for you.
Got it.
Let's contrast that with coaching. Coaching is a partnership where coach is through dialogue, mm-hmm. it's not just staring or writing notes, supporting you to bring your inner voice of wisdom forward. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of training through school and work about receiving information, but we don't get nearly as much training to be skillful at bringing our own thing forward.
Yeah.
So it's really about supporting the client to tap into their inner wisdom, get really clear on who they really are and what is really important to them, and what contribution they want to make with their lives. Mm-hmm. Coaching is all about action as well.
Yes.
So I'll just do a quick like comparison with therapy, which mm-hmm. is awesome. Been through it.
Yeah.
Therapy tends to be backwards looking mm-hmm. and assumes that there's some healing to be done.
Yeah.
Coaching is forward facing. Mm-hmm. And a key assumption is that the client has everything that they need to take the next authentic action for them.
Got it.
You know, they're a whole and complete person.
Yeah.
And the way we know that they have what it takes to take the next action for them is that it's going to come from within them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool. You mentioned authentic action, something that you've mentioned many times in pretty much all of our sessions, and something that I continue to use with some of my students and other folks. Could you share a little bit what that means, or at least how you define it? Because that's something that I've been able to implement now and share with others in terms of, you know, you may think of it as a goal, right? For those that may have heard me say that a couple of times already, but what is an authentic action?
It's not you shooting all over yourself. So in the style of coaching that I'm trained in from Rhea, we think of authentic actions in two ways. One is to clean something up, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you didn't show up the way you want to show up. Right. So there's some repairing to do. So you can let go of that energy of even worrying about it and divert it towards what do you want to do.
Right.
And then the other flavor is taking action on something that's really important to you, right? It's a life's intention. Mm-hmm. It's a goal. And again, an authentic action is one that you see for yourself and is meaningful for you.
Yeah.
It's not a I should, It's not a I have to. Mm-hmm. It's very purposeful and intentional of like, this is my next step. And authentic action should be bite-sized.
Yeah.
Right? Not you know, I will scale Everest tomorrow. That is right. Not how that works.
Got it. Let me cross that
off. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you what to do.
But. Right. I love that. Yeah. And I think that's something that helped me during our time in sessions together of the bite size and life's intentions, all these things that hopefully as folks are hearing more about coaching, understanding what that means for them. I kind of want to take it to another level too. I think in the most recent episode with Dr. Clarence Lee, that was a great, he mentioned he had several coaches, right, for his businesses and different endeavors. From your perspective, I know you might be a biased because you are a
super
coach,
biased, yeah.
But as someone that also, before you got to the point where you are today, you also took some steps of like trying to take yourself to the next level. Why should people get coaching, right? Why is it something that I think more and more that I'm seeing, whether it's peers or people in the professions, I've asked them and their response is like, I get coaching, right? Or they've got some sort of coaching that got them over the edge, right? So I'm curious to hear from, again, from your perspective, from your experience, just, you know, why is it that people should pursue coaching in their lives?
Another great question. So I actually want to continue that metaphor of like comparing mentoring and coaching. So if we're doing our metaphor about opening doors, the coach, it's going to be, coach is maybe going to ask you like, okay, what's most important for you to consider when you're choosing a door? Mm-hmm. Or what do you most want to see on the other side of it? So what you can walk away from coaching with is more clarity about your own unwritten rules, right? Which, again, back to those opportunities to have those discussions, we just don't get a lot of other spaces like that, you know, compared to training, you know, championing, consulting, mentoring. Coaching is the only one where information's coming out of you.
Yeah.
And hopefully being reflected back to you so you can see it in new ways, right? And gain new perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, the world around you,
yeah,
it's been there. It's how, it's kind of what you've primed your brain to look for.
Yeah.
That creates the set of possibilities.
Yeah.
Right? So I would encourage anyone to get coaching when they're not getting results that they want someone there in their life.
Yeah.
And it's really holographic. So if you come to coaching with like a, you know, gosh, I'm just having really a hard time with this team member.
Yeah.
You know, the things that you see through coaching are going to support you to be more who you are at your best in that work situation, probably at home too, because you're you everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, another frame of coaching, the way I've heard it is, you know, you coach the person, not the problem, right? Which I also think is really unique and special. Like we can Google so many things and hear so much about how other people do their journey, but at the end of the day, you're you, wherever you are.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned the journey. As you're continuing on this journey, coaching, how do you continue to stay sharpened? How are you, you know, as you're taking on more clients or seeking more folks to coach, how do you kind of continue to develop and grow where you're at?
Yeah, I think that's a great, just you're full of great questions.
You know, I mean, I've done this a couple times.
Yeah, it's not your first rodeo.
We're like on the, this is nice, I got to say, sorry, because usually the table is turned. She's asking me so many good questions, so this is my opportunity to ask her some great questions as well, so.
Well played.
I know, right?
So one, I work with a mentor coach through my program. That's one thing. I think when people are looking for coaches, be mindful. It's still a relatively new area of practice. Yeah. And if you Google coaching, you're going to get a lot of different things. And I would argue a lot of what you get might be consulting, where it's like, I'm going to coach you on how to run your business. Like, well, that's probably not coaching. That sounds like consulting.
Yeah.
Or training. Or even mentoring, right?
So,
one of the things, I'm a big fan of like standards of practice and things. Yeah. So I would recommend looking for someone who is ICF credentialed or going through a training program. That's mm-hmm. ICF credentialed, and that's International Coaches Federation. Sounds like there should be like fluffy hats. I don't know why. So as part of that, to get a credential, you have to go through an accredited training program, which means that the ICF has checked them out and that the curricula that they're running people through are going to equip them with the skills and aptitudes and knowledge to be successful and ethical.
Mm-hmm. Ethical is good.
Ethical is super important. Super important. Yeah. You know, because you're holding the space for people to be really vulnerable and open, mm-hmm. which is like so important in terms of really getting clear on who you are. So you want to make sure you're in good hands.
For sure.
Like, that's a really important space.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to be someone's coach.
Yeah.
I forget what the question was.
No, yeah. I just, you know, how do you continue to develop and grow as a coach?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So part of that program also is working with a mentor coach who can advise mm-hmm. you and, you know, be a sounding board and, again, share their experiences. Yeah. The other thing is we have to pass a number of observed coaching sessions. So literally other people who aren't your mentor coach have to review you and, like, are you using the tools correctly? Are you, you know, being skillful? Mm-hmm. So there's that. And always being on the lookout for other courses and, you know, frameworks and coaching, going out and doing the thing, I think is so important.
Doing the thing. That's right.
Yeah, doing the thing and doing the thing with different groups of people.
Yeah.
Right? Every coach hopefully has like a niche that they, you know, a group of people that they would love to support.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you don't know what you don't know. So working with different people is wonderful. An example, the local chapter of the ICF, they Sacramento ICF has participated and I participated this year in a global ICF, they call it the Ignite campaign.
Got it.
Which is where ICF supports ICF-trained coaches to support organizations that are working to, you know, alleviate or further the UN sustainability goals. Mm-hmm. So this year, the Sacramento chapter was supporting some doctoral students at CSUS, as well as employees of organizations like the Partnership to End Domestic Violence.
Wow.
So as part of that, it's like, okay, you get, you know, however many sessions of coaching through a set time. So I think it's September 30th, this go around. And as part of that program, we come together every month and under, you know, support of a master coach, you know, it's sort of, they call it supervision where it's like, okay, what have you run into? What are you seeing? What are you maybe struggling with?
Right.
And it was just so wonderful to hear. And it was my experience as well. A lot of these other coaches saying like, oh, you know, I normally don't work with younger people or I don't work with executive directors of nonprofits. Yeah. So on one hand, it's different. And yet on the other hand, it's such a universal human experience.
Yeah.
Right. Of like, oh, is this the right decision? Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah. No, that's so good. Thank you for sharing that. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself being a coach as you've gone through, you know, several clients, you know, some that, you know, again, the opportunity that came about, you know, a lot of my peers from class 12 were like, hey, y'all got to do this. Y'all got to connect with Tiffany. I was like, fine. But I'm curious, just being on your end, like, what have you learned about yourself as you kind of gone through this process? I would say, you know, changing people's lives. You know, you've changed mine in turn the last couple months that we've got to connect and do these sessions. And I feel like it was worth it, you know. So, but yeah, back to the question, anything that you've learned about yourself being coach going through this journey?
Thank you.
Yeah.
One, I just so appreciate you sharing that as well to know that it was meaningful.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. Coaching shouldn't be me fishing for compliments.
Right. Yeah. It was in the notes.
She told me. You will have found this.
Right.
One, that working after 7 o'clock is tough for me. So that was like kind of a, like just a logistical like aha. Where I'm like, okay, I'm better earlier in the day. After seven, I'm like, and at the same time, I discovered that I am truly energized by this work. You know, maybe I would have those later sessions. I would, when I was starting out, I think I would go as late as starting at like 8:30.
Yeah.
And I could start and just be like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But then in the course of doing it, I would just feel really uplifted. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is really, this is a great place for me. Like clearly I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I've learned more about myself, which I think I was thinking about some of the you know, example questions you sent over about like leadership. And I think it was in NELP, and I can't remember who to attribute this to, so help me
probably
if
Scott.
You remember. Probably Scott.
I don't know.
Yeah, Scott Syphax, right? Like, leadership is, I know who I am. Mm. I know who I am with others. I know others.
Mm.
And that order is super important.
Mm.
Right? Because if you don't know who you are, you're not anchored. You're not grounded in things. And boy, has anyone spent like an hour trying to figure out how to write an email because they're like, where do I even start? Right?
Yeah. Not
or,
me.
No one. a friend.
Yeah, right.
And where are you going to be looking for validation of who you are? Man, what a powerful thing to put out in the hands of other people, and they might not even know that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? Back to that like expectation disappointment.
Yeah.
So coaching has supported me to get more clear on who I am, which is great. You know, what are my standards of integrity? What are my life's intentions right now? Which is just so awesome.
Yeah.
The other thing too, that it's really supported me. So Maria has this concept she calls a basic assumption, and it's sort of, you know, nature and nurture, right? We know these are both factors. Apparently there were some experiments done quite a while ago, all black and white photos, with babies. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, they wanted to see what would happen when they shined a really bright light in the infant's face. I know. Bear with me.
Yeah.
And they saw that the babies would do one of three things. Fight, you know, scream, you know, flee, try to book it, or just freeze.
Mm.
So part of Maria's work is like, well, you know, there's part of just you were just born and you kind of have this default instinctual reaction to scary stuff, like a stranger blasting you with light as a child.
Right.
It's a very small person. And of course, as we learn and grow, like our structure of knowing gets built, you know, experiences lead to beliefs and it just all kind of And it really, my basic assumption is I'm not sure.
Mm.
Super freeze response.
Got it.
Which is like, so me. Well, and it sounds like, well, you know, I just don't have enough to make the decision. And, you know, how do I even go about making a great decision? Like, if you want someone who come with a great methodological framework for an experiment, you find someone who's like, I'm not sure person. Because it'll be replicable. They'll write down why. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
And for me, it was just so seeing that, because that's the other thing. Once you see it, you don't have to be it. And I think that's a beautiful thing with coaching. When you see these, maybe you see that you've had a view that's maybe outdated.
Yeah.
Like once you see it, you get to choose.
Yeah.
Like maybe do that again or something new.
Right.
So for me, I was able to say like, oh my gosh, if that's just my default reaction, I can really lower the burden of proof I was demanding of myself for anything.
Yeah.
And that just freed up a ton of energy to do other things.
Yeah. So cool. So cool.
Super cool.
Before we get to one of my favorite segments, the lightning round.
Lightning round.
Yes, you are familiar. I want to ask a couple more questions and then we'll switch over to the lightning round. But the first question is, what is next for you? You know, as you've started your coaching, you've got the chance to talk with different clients. You know, what does the outlook look for you in terms of, you know, the coaching realm? I see, and forgive me for calling it doodling because it's not doodling, but I love what when you did the notes of, there's a term for it.
Sketch noting.
I don't know why, because I'm visual. Actually, I do know why. It's a visual thing. I like visuals. But yeah, I see you adding that to now to your mix and to your bag. But yeah, what is next for you? What's the outlook look for you in the next year, couple years when it comes to coaching?
I appreciate that. Yeah. One, I want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I've created an informal mentoring program at my work.
Nice.
And this is the second cohort we're spinning up. So I love incorporating coaching into that.
Yeah.
Because like what a wonderful resource for people. Like,
yeah.
you can encounter things in a mentoring conversation that then you might want to go look at in a coaching context.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Right?
When you see something here, oh, hey, mentor,
yeah,
how would you deal with this?
Right? Yeah.
So I want to continue building on that because I think I would love to get in a space of being able to share these things more widely,
yeah,
like, and just make people aware of them,
yeah,
and provide, like, not so much structure that is stifling, but enough structure that it's freeing for people, mm-hmm, to participate in it and,
yeah,
engage in it.
Yeah.
Which is what I really love about informal mentoring, right?
For sure.
And I want to be doing more with my sketchnoting as part of my Emerge Summit. Did I send you my zine?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Thank,
yes,
you. So I made a zine.
Yes.
And because a lot of people are visual. And,
yeah,
we know, you know, there's been studies and, like, retention goes up to, like, 86%,
yeah,
versus 12%.
I've seen them come up so much, like, during conferences now that I go to. And, like, there's people on the side.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love it. I'm like, I've never seen that before. And I the question I was... why haven't I seen it before? But now I'm seeing it more often, which is very cool. But yes.
It's super cool.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I love it. It's actually really cool.
Yeah. That picture is like, it,
yeah,
truly is worth 1,000 words.
Exactly.
And I love offering that as part of my coaching too.
Yeah.
'Cause I feel like I'm going to steal from Heather Martinez, who's a wonderful, she's big on, she's a graphic recorder and just a lettering guru,
yeah,
goddess. She's just like so good at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. Right. You know, goals.
Right.
She has this great metaphor about, you know, you have these great discussions, mm-hmm, you know, you have this great meeting and it's like all the ideas are in the air.
Mm.
And if no one writes them down, it's like they all just fall to the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wonderful janitor comes and vacuums them up at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right?
And they just, into the garbage they go.
Yeah.
And I feel like coaching, yeah, it means I'm not looking at you in the Zoom sometimes. I'm looking down.
Yeah.
But it's hopefully something that's supportive when,
yeah,
you go and look.
It is.
And I still remember one of our things, you know, me drawing like the big wigs.
For, yes, you,
like,
the big
someone
wigs.
Someone with a big wig. It just brought so much joy to my heart.
Yeah, yeah. And those are memorable things, right? Like you can kind of remember those moments of like the conversation or the dialogue, right? And so that, yeah, thank you for that. Very excited to see more of that. Next question before going to the lightning round, how can people get in touch with you if they like what they've heard or took, okay, I like what she's putting down about the coaching. I want to pursue this, or I want to at least be interested in finding out more about how can I pursue coaching with Tiffany or, you know, other ventures. But yes, how can they get in touch with you?
Awesome. I have a website.
Website.
Yeah, website.
Alert.
So it's, www.tiffharter.com. So TIFF. HARTER, just like Jimmy Carter, but with an H.
Got it.
Harter. And on there, there's a little bit about me. There's a little bit about coaching. And there's a link to schedule a discovery call, yeah, with me, which is, it's a 45-minute block of time. And, mm-hmm, we can just talk through, you know, what would you like to get from coaching?
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of the island of today,
mm-hmm,
versus the island of tomorrow? Where would you like to be?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the call, hopefully we both have a good sense if coaching with me is the right next step.
Got it.
And if it's not, maybe there's other resources I could connect you to.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
And there's a picture of your dog there too, right? On the website. It's
Obi's all over.
Yeah.
Because again.
Just in case you, yeah, want to see Obi, you know,
yeah,
that's a bonus.
The people want Obi.
Right.
I just need to get out of the way.
But I'll make sure to put the website in the show notes for the episode so people can definitely follow up with you. But let's move on to the favorite segment of mine, the lightning round. These aren't questions that I didn't share with you beforehand. So these are all off the top, starting with a very easy one. And I kind of know the answer already, but dogs or cats? Obi, right. Got it.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry. Don't tell my cat.
I'm a dog person too. Well, you have a cat too?
Yeah. We got my son got a kitten in June, Queen Mab. So.
Okay.
But
I didn't see. They didn't make an appearance in the Zoom, did they?
No, no. She hasn't quite.
Okay. I did see Obi, though.
Yep.
All right. Next question. Text or calls?
Text.
Text. Okay. Best travel destination?
I'm hopefully going to Japan in April.
What?
Yeah, hopefully. But.
Where? Tokyo?
Yeah. And just probably going to, like, you know, do train rides up and down. So
for how long?
11 days, 13 days, something
I'm jealous.
Like that.
You'll love it, though. I went to Tokyo for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Good. I need
yeah,
all the details.
Just bring back a lot of matcha.
Got it. Suitcase with matcha.
Speaking of favorite dessert.
Oh, anything with chocolate in it.
Anything with chocolate. Okay. Okay. Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even after the 7 p.m. thing?
Okay. You know, if I'm being disciplined, I can make it work, but.
Yeah. Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
Ooh.
Or podcast, maybe. Or besides podcast. Lead Up.
Yeah. This one, obviously. You know, it's interesting. I've actually been listening to a lot of the last podcast on the left.
Mm.
My tattoo artist told me about it. We started talking about UFOs and shit. So, sorry.
It's all right.
I can edit that out.
Yeah. No, no worries.
And so that's just been really interesting because they really dive into all sorts of bizarro things.
What's it called?
It's Last Podcast on the Left.
Got it. Last Podcast on the Left.
So they do true crime. They do like weird, like I learned a whole bunch about the Black Plague. I didn't know.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. So it's sort of edutainment.
Got it. Do you have to be getting a tattoo while you're listening to it?
No.
Okay.
It's not required.
Got it.
Perhaps
okay.
Just encouraged.
Okay. All right, kind of in the same vein. If you had to do one karaoke song to save your life, it would be?
I'd be dead. I couldn't do it. Happy birthday? Does that count?
Judges? Okay, yeah, they'll go with it this time around.
Good. I get to choose life.
Pet peeve? If you have one.
I do.
She's
I
thinking
do.
Really hard.
I do. When you call a meeting and you're not clear about what the meeting's about.
Oof.
And then you walk in, you look at me like I'm supposed to know what your meeting's about.
Mm.
So that is not Coach Tiff in that moment where I'm like.
Yeah.
But it is sort
the
of
the old Tiff would say.
just, you know, we all have our tastes. We're just sort of like.
What's the what's her name? The actress, my gosh, it's a gif where she's just like disappointed and she just like walks away. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay.
But gifs
hopefully
are amazing.
Yeah, hopefully you can get a gif in there. All right. A couple more here. In your high school yearbook, you were most likely to?
I don't know.
Schedule a meeting without.
Schedule a meeting without and just agenda. Without an agenda to just talk and talk.
Something that most people wouldn't know about you.
One, I was an emancipated minor. Two, cancer. Astrology
what?
Sign. Yeah.
Oh,
crap people. No, not big C cancer.
Okay. Like, I was like, Tiff.
No, yeah, no.
Very cool. My mom's a cancer as well. Best advice someone has given you?
There is so much.
Yeah.
The really wonderful gentleman, probably the first person I'd say was a mentor for me. He's since passed away. But when I was about to have my son, he said, you know, right now you run your life. And just know that soon when you have your son, he'll run your life. And it's okay. So he'll just, it's just the way it's going to be for a while.
Yeah.
Like the schedule and everything. And it was just a really lovely creating space message. And it wasn't like, he'll run your life. It was very much a like, you're just going to, the whole axis upon which your world turns will switch over to this little being for quite a while.
Very cool.
I think that's what it was. I'm sure I could find out with something better, but lightning round.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, lightning round, first one. Worst nickname given to you?
Oh. Okay, I think my sister would call me Dweezil when I was
Dweezil?
Little. Dweezil?
Just because?
Or Dweeble. Yeah, like a dweeb and diminutive, I think. I have an older sister, and we're really close now, but
yeah.
Do you have?
I things? Do. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Like just, yeah. But never got to
just
Dweeble,
cut you deep.
Though. Yeah.
Cut you.
All right, last two here. Biggest lesson you learned so far in
2022. Biggest lesson learned. Okay. I don't know if it's as much of a lesson learned as much of a, like, really seeing it and trying to put it into practice. Mm-hmm. But it's really looking at, like, my current day job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone should do this wherever your bread is buttered. bettered. What changes can you make so that you're doing more of what interests you? Because when we show up and we're really interested in what we're doing, it's just such a better experience for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I would have been the person who's like, yeah, no, I don't think you should get to choose. You just need to, if they ask, you need to do it. And there are times and places for that.
For sure.
But just there's so much more latitude than I've given myself in the past, just in ways of seeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, do what you want. But it's just, it's a way of seeing and advocating for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that was really good.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Let's keep it going.
Snatch victory from the draft defeat here.
Yeah. All right, last one. Every leader needs what?
Empathy.
Ooh. Can you just elaborate just a little bit?
A little bit.
I usually don't let people, but.
Ooh,
yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Special bonus round.
Yes.
empathy is, I think it was a Gallup podcast with the CEO of Steelcase, who his number one is empathy and Clifton Strengths. And they said, like, how do you do empathy in leadership? He's like, it's intelligence gathering. You know, emotional intelligence, it's data. And a leader, a CEO, needs to make decisions based on data. So that's how I see it. So leaders need empathy because the view through someone else's eyes is data, and we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
So creating the space to ask those questions and hear what comes back without getting defensive or, you know, well attacked, is really powerful.
Yeah.
Right. When you're a leader, you set the weather or you're making decisions that really affect a lot of lives. So having empathy, it's like access to more than just your own brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want my leaders to have all the information.
That was for me. I think that's why, because empathy is, you know, something within my Clifton Strengths. So I was like, yeah, definitely. So I appreciate that.
Nice.
But every leader needs empathy. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for being here. I greatly, greatly appreciate your time and just everything that you were able to share today. But until we meet again, that is the Lead Up Podcast. Catch y'all in the next episode. Peace.
Thank you.